Quebec Labour Minister Jean Boulet has tabled a bill giving the government new powers to end strikes and lockouts. The proposed Bill 89 would allow Quebec's labor tribunal to force workers and bosses to negotiate in cases that go beyond essential services. It would also give the minister himself the power to send labor disputes to binding arbitration if he thinks a strike or lockout is causing the population serious or irreparable injury. That provision is similar to the one used by the federal labor minister to end recent strikes at the ports, railways, and Canada Post. Boulet told members of the National Assembly the new bill would help keep unions from holding the population hostage.
Tout ce que nous cherchons à faire, c'est de maintenir un équilibre entre l'exercice du droit de grève et les répercussions extrêmement dommageables pour la population. Une grève, c'est un moyen de pression sur un employeur. Mais ça peut pas servir à prendre la population en otage.
Unions across the province are up in arms, and a bill they say tips the scales in employers' favor. But one labor expert says the bill's bad news for more than just workers. Finn Makala is a law professor at the University of Sherbrooke, specializing in labor and employment. He joined CKUT for a deep dive on the legislation and its potential fallout. Here's our conversation. Obviously, we're here to talk about the proposed Bill 89. You know, unions are really up in arms over the bill. Just how big of a change is it to Quebec's labor law?
This is a significant change that some labor federations, including the CSN, have described as part of a war on unions, which is strong wording, but I don't think is unwarranted in the circumstances. The proposed legislation gives the government, the minister, quite a bit of latitude to directly intervene in labor conflicts and reduce the effectiveness of strike action, and also introduces a new regime of limitations on strike for non-essential services.
Yeah, you know, the big concern, as you said, is about the labor tribunal's ability to end strikes in certain industries. How will that actually work if the bill is passed?
Well, we're not entirely sure. That is that Quebec has had what is actually an exemplary regime of essential service legislation for years. It's the most robust and comprehensive essential services legislation in Canada. And so the historical definition in the labor code, as it stands now, of essential services are services which, if interrupted, could cause a threat to the health or safety of the population. Now, with the new legislation, they've added a new kind of subcategory of essential services called services ensuring the well-being of the population. And this is a wide and vague category that includes what are described in the legislation as services minimally required to prevent the population's social, economic, or environmental security from being affected and from being affected disproportionately. So rather than saying, well, what's important is the health and safety of the population, and there needs to be minimal services in order to guarantee health and safety, here we have the tribunal will be asked to balance the proportionality of a strike with this large and vague category of social, economic, or environmental security.
Reading the legislation, you read something like the government wants to intervene when a strike or a lockout disproportionately affects the population's social, economic, and environmental security. And at once it seems kind of intuitive, but also, as you said, very broad and vague and hard to grasp. What are some of the examples maybe that the minister has given for things where he would like to use this new provision to intervene, strikes that maybe wouldn't have met that essential services bar, but could be said to cause disproportionate harm to social, economic, environmental security, well-being?
Well, in my view, this is clearly a response, at least in, partly a response to the strike that happened in the public school sector last year. And the legislation is quite clear that it applies both to school boards, but also to universities, to cégeps, And so here you could have a situation where the government advances that school closures that don't affect the health or safety of students, nevertheless, disproportionately affect their social security. So that's one example. There's, as far as I know, there's never been legislation limiting generally limiting strikes in the school sector. Now, obviously, nobody thinks it's a great idea. Nobody's happy when schools are closed because of labor conflict, but that's the nature of labor conflict. And for instance, quite recently, the Ontario government attempted using the notwithstanding clause, so constitutionally viable legislation, back to work legislation, to end strikes in the school sector. And after public outcry 2 days later, under the threat of a general strike by all sectors, because it was seen as rightly seen as an attack on union rights, that legislation was rolled back. So one example is schools. Another example that was given by the minister was a protracted labor conflict that there has been in a cemetery. And there again, clearly not affecting the health and safety of the population. But here the minister's position was that the having to put off the funeral of a loved one for a long period of time, during the extending the period of mourning, was a situation in which social security was disproportionately affected. But those are just two examples that have been named by the minister, but the category is so large that it's conceivable that quite a number of different industries, sectors, and employers are covered by that.
You mentioned Ontario earlier, but Labor Minister Jean Boulet has said that he has actually looked to the powers that the federal government has used to end the strike, most recently at Canada Post, but earlier last year, strikes at the railways and the ports federally. And those unions have taken the feds to court over the use of those powers. Looking at Boulet citing this controversial federal use of labor law, you know, what do you make of this shift, not just in Quebec, but federally? Is it something that we need to be concerned about? And if so, why?
Well, I think it is, but I'd just like to clarify or back up a bit here. We've been talking so far about this new regime of services ensuring the well-being of the population. And that's like I said, it's a wide and vague category. But if there is something, if I could have something positive to say about this new regime, is that it's going to be an independent tribunal, the TAT, the Tribunal Administratif du Travail, which is going to determine, after a hearing of the parties and evidence being led, whether or not the exercise of the right to strike has had a disproportional effect on the population, social, economic, or environmental security. But the provision that you that the current Minister Boulet has compared to the federal Canada Labor Code is a different provision entirely that they're also seeking to add. So there's in fact two different ways that they're trying to restrict the right to strike in this legislation. The first is the one that we've discussed. The second is this new ministerial power, which says that the minister may, if he considers that a strike or lockout causes or threatens to cause serious or irreparable injury to the population. So now we have a third category, right? We had the first category, the traditional essential services will compromise the health or safety of the population. Then we have this new kind of vague categories of ensuring the well-being of the population. And now we have this third category of serious or irreparable injury to the population, which is also not defined in the legislation. And when this new provision that refers to that standard allows the minister by himself to decide either whether somebody asks him or on his own initiative to intervene and put an end to a strike. And that's, there's no independent tribunal involved. There's no opportunity for the parties to the labor dispute to make representations, to lead evidence, to have arguments and so on and so forth. This is just the minister exercising a discretionary power to say, I've decided that enough is enough. I'm going to end this strike. And again, when you compare it to the other new provision, at least the other new provision, what it does is it will regulate the strike. It'll say, well, these are the minimal services that you need to provide during the strike. With this other new section, the section that allows the minister to intervene directly in strike, it's not a case where the strike may continue, but with some minimal services provided. It will end the strike and send it to binding arbitration. So this is the power that the minister has analogized to the power that's granted to the federal minister under the Canada Labour Code. And as you mentioned, that the exercise of that power by the federal minister has been contested and is currently before the courts, and there is some doubt about the constitutionality of that.
If that gets used in a new way in Quebec, what might we expect to see from labor disputes in the future? Obviously, you mentioned education, that some people see this as a response to the strike in public schools. That strike, when you take into account the winter break that was in the middle of it, you know, saw many students in Quebec out of school for around 7 weeks. If teachers tried a new strike under this current legislation, what might be the response?
Well, in that case, the Minister of Labor, whether it's the Minister of Labor under the current government or a future Minister of Labor, could, at his sole discretion, decide that he's come to the opinion that he considers that the strike is going to cause irreparable injury to the population, and then simply end it and send the parties to arbitration. And why is this problematic? Obviously, it's in some ways it would be good in the short term for the students and for their parents, because the schools would open back up. But these kinds of forced back to work followed by arbitration have really unfortunate long term effects. It's a restriction of a fundamental right of the striking workers, which is in itself a problem. But the second problem with these kinds of things is that what it does is it forces the parties into arbitration, and arbitration often doesn't solve the underlying issues that caused the strike. And so all you're doing is kicking the labor strife can down the road rather than solving the problems through negotiation. So that's one significant problem that we can think of that will likely happen in the future. And in fact, I think we've seen that in Canada Post when they were legislated back to work, what happened, even though that legislation was later found to be unconstitutional. In the meantime, they had been to arbitration, and then that arbitration didn't solve the problems that were underlying the first strike and led to the second strike, which now the minister has ordered ordered an end to. So this is, rather than being a recipe for ending labor conflict, what it does is it temporarily ends labor conflict, the actual strike, but it creates the conditions for it to continue and fester so that it will actually cause more strikes in the future. More strikes in the future means that the minister will intervene more. The minister intervenes, there's more arbitration, the problem festers more, and the parties never come to a negotiated solution, which is the best way to regulate labor relations. So that's one significant problem. The other is that we've seen, or at least there's been some employers that have been accused of, instrumentalizing or weaponizing these kinds of provisions that allow the minister to order an end to the strike, because it's not just an end to a strike, it's also an end to a lockout. So in front of an intransigent union, an employer can lock them out, cause chaos, and then say to the minister, oh, well, you need to order them back to work and send it to arbitration because this is bad for the population. So they actually create the conditions of removing their employees' right to strike.
So that's why we've heard a lot of union response, but we haven't really heard employer response, even though the new provisions will apply to lockouts, because you're saying that structurally they are actually likely to benefit from the legislation.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that this legislation is great for employers. I mean, our whole labor relations system, since its conception and adoption in the 1930s and 40s, has been designed to create an equilibrium or a balance between the powers of employers and the powers of employees. And this legislation clearly tilts that balance in the favor of employers.
You know, you mentioned that Quebec has the most robust essential services legislation in Canada. You know, it has a really strong culture of labor rights, you know, compared across the board to the rest of Canada. We have very active unions in the province. Looking forward, if this legislation is adopted by the CAQ, how could that change?
It's too early to tell. I mean, first, there's going to be clearly a period of uncertainty if the bill is adopted. And of course, there's the parliamentary debates that are going to happen. And maybe some of the arguments of the opposition party will ring true, and or there will be amendments to the legislation. But if it were adopted as is, I think there would be a period of uncertainty, because there would be clearly, there's no doubt in my mind that there would be constitutional litigation. And that litigation could take years before it's finally resolved in front of the Supreme Court of Canada. That being said, even if legislation reduces the scope of labor rights, workers have always banded together in order to create more bargaining power against their employers. And I don't see reducing the scope of union action as reducing that fundamental need for workers to get together and bargain collectively.
All right. Well, we'll definitely have to be following this one as it makes its way through the National Assembly. But Finn Makala, thank you so much for joining us on CKUT and helping unpack a complicated piece of legislation with really far-reaching implications.
My pleasure.
For CKUT, I'm Jules Bijal with the Local Journalism Initiative.